hoping the streets will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
People, get to people. Who you gonna turn to next?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Get to people.
Self-respect.
Stop it,
people.
Show some love for yourself,
people.
Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need. You really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness you can never get used to.
Get to people. What are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't.
Get to people.
Who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen, people.
You better take a look at yourself, yeah.
Talking to my people,
but you just don't see
what you're living
like
at.
Living like you're living,
caught up in the make believe,
lost in your dream.
Ghetto people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it, y'all.
Talking to my people, yeah.
Take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances on the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need when what you really want inside can only come.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together, for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope that everything is well with you today, and hope you're going to have a good weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done. But, boy, in some parts of this country with the heat and tornadoes and hurricanes and, man. Well, you know what, family? This country, unfortunately, we in it. So we have to suffer the consequences of being in it. But it truly, when you analyze it and look at it, it deserves what it gets. You know, the veracity of some of these storms, the frequency of some of these storms is because of climate change, which they refuse to acknowledge for some time. And still, some don't acknowledge it, especially those who benefit tremendously. So, it is what it is, family. Yeah. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. No, from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Stop it. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Other programmings that we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. Our story, Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Our story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Thursdays, last night, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. If it's Friday, and it is, at 8 p.m. tonight, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. Sunday, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pinckney to Pinckney. Activist Reverend Edward Pinckney of Benton Harbor, Michigan. His program is Pinckney to Pinckney from 5 to 6. At 7 p.m., time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. May 15th. If our militia are not organized, the masses cannot manifest their power in the struggle against the enemy. The Honorable Osagyefo Kwame Nkrumah. I will not be intimidated by an enemy. I will show them no fear. I will not compromise the integrity of our people. I will not retreat from the battle except as a tactic to gain a decisive military advantage. I will train my mind, body, and spirit in the warrior's methods of my ancestors. I will study others, warrior methods, only as a means of determining how more decisively to defeat them. I will remember that those we considered the masters of death, domination, and destruction could never have defeated us without our assistance. They are not that good. Excuse me, family. Something in my eye. Okay. They are not that good. I will never vent my rage against family. Family is what I am charged to protect. I will show my people's enemies only the mercy they demonstrated toward my ancestors. I will listen to no other propaganda than that of the proven African warriors who came before me and who now stand at my side. I will not judge my enemies individually. Enemy is understood in the context of nation at war. I will protect my elders, complement, and children. I will always be on guard. I will never lower my eyes from the enemy. I trust only worthy Africans. A person cannot be your friend and enemy at the same time. Dismiss contradictory Africans. It is no accident that treason has become a profitable survival strategy for the weak and spineless who deceitfully infiltrate our sanctuaries looking for faults to create and exploit for our enemies. If no other reason, words must prove their worth and loyalty. Ashe. Affirm, I am fully armed. Affirm, I am fully armed. May 16th. In the face of cultural aggression of all sorts, in the face of all disintegrating factors of the outside world, the most efficient cultural weapon with which a people can arm itself is this feeling of historical continuity. The Honorable Sheikh Anta Jop, Dr. Sheikh Anta Jop. Something in my eye, family. Okay. Awareness of our story is the umbilical cord to our true selves. The awareness of our story is the umbilical cord to our true selves. And the strength of this vital connection is our source and sanity is dependent on the depth and dynamism of our understanding of our story. If we want to find our way back home, and indeed we must, if we are to gain and maintain an African sanity, we must not only know our story, but we must also believe it, building the present into the future upon the beneficial pattern of the past. Living in this place, this dead, whitewashed cultural wasteland, we know that this is a task most Africans would easily fail. For we ultimately know this has an aliens. Shucks. I have something burning in my eye, family. I'm sorry. Let me take a moment. Thank you for your indulgence. Living in this place, this dead, whitewashed cultural wasteland, we know this is a task most Africans would easily fail. For we ultimately know this is an alien, anti-African cultural space, and we recognize the innumerable crimes committed against our African minds. At the same time, we also know that to submit to this insanity is to tear the only umbilical cord we have to be who we really are. Any other lifeline is nothing more than electrified razor wire. I say, electrified razor wire. Affirm, I have shielded myself within the security of African culture. Affirm, I have shielded myself
within the security of African culture. May 17th. Religion is the deification of a people's culture. Religion is a deification of a people's culture. Dr. Joseph Ben Jochanan, Doc Ben. Boy, listen, we had some heavyweights. Kwame Nkrumah, Shekinah Jop, and Doc Ben. Great 3 days, family. We have been taught to see love and hate as opposing each other. We find it extremely difficult to imagine love, loving humanity, but at the same time, hating those individuals who bring nothing but destruction and chaos to humanity. Europeans have made Jesus Christ a hero to us only because elevating this mentality as our personal political philosophy saves them, not us. Because those of us who claim Christianity view Jesus Christ's ultimate sacrifice as a spiritual gift, a possible salvation to those who despise him. And because they use him as a model for at least their verbal behavior, it places us in the inevitable position of needing to sacrifice ourselves to save our destroyers. That's crazy. We are moved to place ourselves in harm's way, to betray those closest to us who would act against our enemies, those betraying our Christ, to forgive whatever is done to us as acts of those who just do not understand what they do, and to operate suicidally in the presence of our enemies. We want to be Christ, attention-wise. We want to be the one glorified for the ultimate sacrifice. The biggest prize, the biggest fame, would come from saving the bringers of chaos and destruction by allowing them to kill us in the name of Christ. Jesus, this is deep. This is madness. We selfishly give ourselves in a hope that our death will bring them to see their wrong and lead them to beg us for forgiveness. This seemingly unselfish act would, of course, also guarantee our entry into an otherworldly heaven. An otherworldly heaven. Affirm, I believe in nothing that would lead me to sacrifice myself to the enemy. I believe in nothing that would lead me to sacrifice myself to our enemies. That's why I reject every damn thing they bring. Whatever they bring, I reject it. Whatever systems, whatever type of system, monetary, political, educational, theological, whatever it is, I totally reject whatever the Caucasian brings. Is that right? Ghana's currency, the cedi, has risen for the past month against every single currency in the world, including the U.S. dollar, the Chinese yen, the euro, right on, the franc, the South African rand, and Nigeria's, I apologize, my left eye is just, whoa. This rally of the cedi is expected to bring down the prices of imported goods in the coming weeks. Ashe, Ghana. Yes, hopefully that is the fact. Ghana. Yeah. This theology. Let me play this. This is like interesting to play here. We're going to do a few things. I want to put some light on the situation with Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso is, and Ibrahim Traore, is what's happening. So I want to do that. Let me play this right quick. Let me see how this goes.
This is Unwritten Truths, a 500- 100-year breakdown of how white supremacy poisoned the world. In the 1500s, they arrived with Bibles and swords, preaching salvation while stealing souls. In the 1600s, they rewrote maps and labeled the world theirs. Everything sacred was renamed. Everything stolen was legal. In the 1700s, they mass-produced slavery, turning people into property, with God's approval. In the 1800s, they industrialized empires, burning land and bones to fuel profit. In the 1900s, they sold cigarettes as medicine, sprayed food with chemicals, and told us that fake was better. By 2000, they owned the air, the seeds, the truth itself. They replaced nutrients with logos. Now in 2025, they sell water, emotions, and even identity, and call it freedom. This isn't progress. It's 500 years of psychological warfare, and most of us are still enslaved. We just call it lifestyle now.
I say, it's deep, ain't it? The truth. The truth. The truth. They always say the truth hurts. Yeah. So, since we're talking about Burkina Faso, let's play our song. Want to do that? Yeah, let's do that, family. Yeah, let's do that. Let's play our song. Okay.
Oh, this one is for the people, for the soldiers, the mothers, the land. I lift my voice to heaven high. Oh, Lord, hear my cry. In the heart of Africa, I see a flame. A young man rise, they call his name. Ibrahim Traoré, standing tall. For the love of his people, he risked it all. Bullets fly, but he don't fall. He walking through the fire, still answering the call. With faith in his chest and the word in his hand, he's fighting for peace in his motherland. So I get down on my knees, praying for unity. Let no evil take control. God, please protect his soul. God, protect Ibrahim Traoré. He's the voice of the people. Let him lead the way. Shield him from the storm, from the enemy's blow. God, protect Burkina Faso. Let the children laugh, let the rivers flow. Bless every village, every soul, you know, from the north to the south. Let your mercy grow. God protect Ibrahim Traoré. Protect Burkina Faso. I see the pain, but I see the fight. A nation praying every single night. They cried too long, they bled too deep. Now it's time for justice, time to reap. Let no weapon formed against him stand. Put your angels round him, take his hand. He ain't perfect, Lord, but you see his heart. Give him strength to finish what he started. Oh, I get down on my knees, cover him with peace. Break every curse, heal every soul. God, please take control. God, protect my hero. He's the voice of the people. Let him lead the way. Shield him from the storm, from the enemy's blow. God, protect Burkina Faso. Let the children laugh, let the rivers flow. Every soul, you know, from the north to the south. Let your mercy grow. God protect Ibrahim Traoré. Protect Burkina Faso. Oh, this is my prayer, this is my song. Protect the brave, make the weak strong. Forever reign over Burkina Faso. Amen. Amen.
Ashe, protect Burkina Faso. Ashe. R. Kelly, he's still in prison. That's AI. Thank goodness for AI. A good use of AI. Yeah. Yes, my compliment, my lady was talking about some things that she read about or seen about what's happening with AI. They've been saying that for a long time. And yet, of course, artificial intelligence had been going on. That was even in, what was that, 2000, A Space Odyssey. You know, it will develop its own mind. And that's always been a fear, you know. Yeah. So we're going to talk about Ibrahim Traore. I've got a piece that I think I might play that now. So I can have the second half of the program. Also, too, I'm going to do a birthday shout-out to Janet Jackson. And also, too, I want to say that the music that we're going to play was also because of my lady. Yeah. So we're going to do that. I got a piece I'm going to play here. And that'll take up... It's a 20-something minute piece, you know. So I'm going to do that. This is why Ibrahim Traore is a threat. And believe me, he is. To the West, to France, United States, to Europe. He is a serious threat. Because if he continues what he's doing and other countries begin to follow suit, and all of those weak ass go along to get along ass Negroes on the continent and still countries that look to the West, look to Europe, look to the United States, as opposed to turning inward to go with the Sahel group and other African countries to bring them together. The main thing that we clearly understand, and those from way back clearly understood, is that we need African unity. I hate what has happened to those men and women who understood that, how they were ostracized, how they were eliminated, how they were shut down. Kwame Nkrumah said it first. Kwame Nkrumah said, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Kwame Nkrumah. Hate the fact that he was right when he said it. But he said we need a dynamic Pan-Africanism. All these men and women who espoused African independence, African self-determination, African liberation, and African sovereignty are my heroes. Those are the ones that I talk about. Those are the ones that I hold up high. Those are the ones I believe in. Because I have analyzed this world. I've analyzed the European. The thing that Donald Trump did with the educational piece, you know, I understand it. If I was a Caucasian, I wouldn't want the truth. just like a few good men, Colonel Nathan Jessup being played understand against Lieutenant Caffey, played by Tom Cruise. So Jack Nicholas' character is being grilled until finally Caffey turns and says, "I want the truth." He says, "You can't handle the truth." They can't. Caucasians cannot handle the truth. They don't want the truth. We need the truth. We have bought into their lies. We keep believing, just like the Inyasasim I read earlier, that somehow we can make them feel, you know, to such degree that they'll apologize for all the wrong and evil things that they have done. They will never. They will never. Before I play that, let me play this, because this is pretty much, and I hate to do this, but you know, sometimes you got to do stuff like this, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you got to do stuff like this, family. Yeah. I got to find it, you know? And I will, real soon. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna find it real soon. I hope that you enjoyed that. Shucks. The truth about Gaddafi and, yeah. Yeah, the truth about Muammar Gaddafi. Wow. Okay. Listen to this, family.
If they made you leave America to get reparations, do you take your reparations and leave America, or do you vacate your reparations and keep your citizenship? I'm going to be honest with you. I believe most black people want their citizenship. We love Caucasians. We love Caucasians. You think the black man is going to choose reparations over the snow money? You really think the black man of America is going to choose reparations over the snow bunny mafia? You're out of your mind. The black man is not choosing reparations over the snow bunny. You can forget it. You can forget it. He is not giving up the snow bunny for reparations. You Negroes are delusional. You Negroes are delusional. You Negro, do you see all the black men playing for the Olympics right now talking about they love America? Do you see all the black men in the Olympics running for America? Basketball for America, breakdancing for America. You think these Negroes are going to give up being an American citizen for some reparations? You think they're going to give up their snow bunny privilege? You think they're going to give up white women for reparations? You're out of your mind. Black women are not giving it up. Black women is not giving up their citizenship for reparations. They love white America. They dress like white women. They wear their hair like white women. Y'all not giving up y'all citizenship for no reparations. If the white man said, "I'm going to give you this money, but y'all got to get the hell up out of here," y'all not leaving? You would say, "Massa, I'm so sorry, Massa. Don't make me go back to Africa. I'm a pretendian. Massa, I'm a pretendian. I'm not from Nigeria. I don't come from Ghana. My ancestors ain't from Cameroon. I don't come from Kenya. I don't come from Togo. I'm a pretendian.
I'm a Cherokee. I'm a Choctaw. I'm a Seminole. I'm a Chickasaw. Massa, don't make me go back to Africa. I'm not from Africa.
Yeah. Brother Dr. Uma Ifantunde. Dr. Uma Ifantunde. Yeah. I have issues with that brother. I love him. I know him. He knows me. I brought him to Milwaukee way back. You know. And every time he comes to the city, at least if I know about it, I go see him. We, you know, talk a minute. Disappointed. I told him that some years ago when he came here around the New Year's time at the Shrine. Me and Kwaku went together to check it out. And I think he had Oshawa Kwesi. He had somebody else on the program besides him. But anyway, yeah, you know, what I asked for him is to have integrity. You know, tell us what the funds are for. Tell us what you're going to do with it. Tell us, you know, what's happening with the school. Still don't have the school all this time. All this time. So anyway, let's do this. We're going to play this particular piece. This is Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso. Why Ibrahim Traoré is a threat. And he is. He's a threat. To the West, and I hope he continues to get more and more countries, more and more people, many of us. Yeah, I understand what Dr. Umar was saying, but I still believe, not necessarily reparations, but I still believe that we understand. There's not a majority of us. The majority of us, he's correct. The majority of us, we too sing America. You know? But there are some of us who clearly understand we will always be second-class citizens, even worse. Even worse. Because it doesn't make any sense that any other, I mean, I understand why Latinos are the second after Caucasians. You know, I understand that. You know, but as long as we've been here, but you know what we've been experiencing? No population growth. For everyone that dies, one is born. So we've been stagnant. We've been stagnant. Had we been going, I mean, even though right now our population is the youngest in this country and the youngest on the planet. That's why we will be here. We were here from the beginning and we will be here. But the shining light for us is not here. It's on the continent. But yet, man, what's wrong? Man, we built this up too. This is just as much ours as it is theirs. Shut up. Here's the piece, family.
In the heart of West Africa, a quiet rebellion is raging. And at the center of it all is a young soldier with revolution in his voice and Thomas Sankara in his blood. He came to power through a coup d'etat, but not the kind the West supports, not the kind backed by IMF loans or photo ops in Paris. In just months, he did what few African leaders have dared to try. Expelled the French military, tore up military agreements, cut ties with Western financiers, and called out decades of neocolonialism masked with freedom. To his supporters, he's the second coming of Thomas Sankara. To his enemies, he's a dangerous insurgent with pan-African agenda. And now they call him dangerous. Ibrahim Traoré isn't just changing his country. He's challenging the global order and inspiring a new wave of African defiance. From Burkina Faso to the Sahel to the rest of the continent, his name is chanted by the defiant and feared by the powerful. But who exactly is Ibrahim Traoré? What does he want? And why is the West scrambling to contain his rise? To understand Ibrahim Traoré, you need to understand the land he comes from, a country that has buried more revolutions than any other on the continent. Burkina Faso, formerly Upper Volta, was renamed by Thomas Sankara, the iconic anti-imperialist who ruled in the 1980s. Burkina Faso means land of upright people. But since Sankara's assassination in 1987, orchestrated with foreign complicity, the country has been anything but upright. Over the past decade, Burkina Faso has cycled through five heads of state, weathered multiple coups, and seen large parts of its territory fall to jihadist insurgents, despite millions of dollars in Western security support. In the midst of the chaos emerged Captain Ibrahim Traoré, a soldier trained in the University of Ouagadougou and a seasoned artillery officer. He served in the Northern Sahel, where villages were routinely torched by terrorists and citizens left unprotected by the state. But unlike many in the officer class, Traoré didn't just take orders, he started asking questions. Why, despite billions in aid, was Burkina Faso losing territory every week? Why were French troops stationed in the country if attacks were only growing? Why was the country consistently topping lists of the world's most neglected displacement crises, with nearly 10% of its population forced to flee their homes due to violence and insecurity? And why were the nation's mines being drained by foreign companies while citizens couldn't access basic needs?
Aucun sacrifice ne sera de trop.
No sacrifice will be too great to take this country out of the situation in which it finds itself. So, our commitment is for a return to peace. And our compass will always be the people.
This wasn't just a coup. It was a declaration of disobedience. Traoré framed it as a rectification of the previous military administration led by Paul Henri Damiba, who many accused of being too cozy with the West and too hesitant to break old ties. With no background in politics,
this call may be recorded or transcribed.
Traoré leaned on something much older, Burkinabe patriotism and the spirit of Sankara. He began echoing Sankara's speeches, nationalizing narratives, and urging youth to rise, not with weapons, but with tools, imagination, and hope. But hope alone isn't what makes the West nervous. It's what came next that turned Traoré into a geopolitical threat. Since gaining independence in 1960, according to data from the Africa Center for Strategic Studies, Burkina Faso has seen more coups than any other African nation, a whopping 9 successful coups with at least a dozen failed attempts. In 1966, Colonel Sangoule Lazimana overthrows President Maurice Yamego after mass protests against austerity and authoritarianism. France keeps close diplomatic ties, no sanctions, no outrage. In 1980, Colonel Sahle Zabo topples Lamizana in another military coup, another military man, another promise of reform. But the economy stalls and foreign aid becomes the lifeline. In 1982, Major Dr. Jean-Baptiste Odrogo overthrows Zabo, promising reform. In 1983, Captain Thomas Sankara, just 33 years old, takes power in a revolutionary coup. He slashes government wastage, promotes local industries, and launches a war against corruption, illiteracy, and foreign control. In 1987 comes Blaise Compaoré, Sankara's closest ally, overthrows and assassinates him in a France-backed coup, ushering in almost 3 decades of authoritarian rule, a pivot to the West and neoliberal compliance. In comes 2014, Compaoré is ousted by a popular uprising after attempting to change the constitution to extend his rule. He flees to Côte d'Ivoire. His French allies fall silent. In 2022, January, Lieutenant Colonel Paul Henri Damiba overthrows the civilian government of President Roch Kabore, citing a failure to contain a jihadist insurgency. But he keeps close ties with France, keeps their troops, keeps their contracts. And in 2022, September, Captain Ibrahim Traoré overthrows Damiba in a counter-coup, accusing him of betraying revolutionary ideals and protecting foreign interests. Despite all these coups and counter-coups, everything changed for the country in 1987. That's when Thomas Sankara was gunned down and ousted in a coup plotted by his closest ally, Blaise Compaoré. The revolution that once threatened French mining contracts and Western dominance in Africa was silenced, and a puppet regime was installed. For 27 years, Compaoré ruled with the invincible to the naked eye approval of Western powers. Burkina Faso opened its gold fields to foreign corporations, privatized state industries, and Françafrique was in full control. Burkina Faso became what scholars called a semi-sovereign state, outwardly independent, but internally guided by external levers. Born in 1988, a year after Sankara's assassination, Ibrahim Traoré grew up under the Compaoré government. But unlike many of his generation who fled abroad or retreated into silence, Traoré chose to serve. What shaped him wasn't just military doctrine, but the realities of war in the Sahel. Since 2015, Burkina Faso had faced a violent insurgency led by Al-Qaeda-linked and ISIS-affiliated groups. He served in some of the hardest-hit regions, Loroum, Yatenga, and Soum, where state authority had collapsed, and French forces present in the country under Operation Barkhane rarely intervened directly to protect civilians. He, like Sankara before him, began seeing the war on terror not as a security partnership, but as a cover for neocolonial extraction. He began to question his own side. Something didn't add up. Missions were underfunded. Despite years of foreign military aid, intelligence on terrorist movements were often withheld or delayed. French forces in the region seemed more interested in guarding mining corridors than protecting civilians. The contradiction became too loud to ignore. In 2022, while serving under Lieutenant Colonel Damiba transitional government, Traoré grew disillusioned. Damiba had promised a new direction, but had refused to cut ties with France. French troops remained in their borders, agreements stayed secret, and the people's suffering worsened. Traoré listened, and when he marched on the capital in September 2022 with loyalist units, it wasn't just a coup against Damiba, it was a coup against the system. An unknown 35-year-old had just ousted a French-leaning general and declared that Burkina Faso would reclaim its destiny. Fast forward to today, Ibrahim Traoré has openly embraced Sankara's legacy, igniting a revival of pan-African pride and anti-colonial sentiment in Burkina Faso and beyond. In the colonial playbook, there's an unwritten rule. You can rebel, but only within the lines. Ibrahim Traoré didn't just step outside the lines, he tore the whole page out. Within just 4 months of taking power, he expelled the French military from Burkina Faso, ending Operation Sabre, a counter-terrorism force housed at a base near the Ouagadougou airport. He also terminated a 1961 military agreement that allowed French forces to intervene at will in Burkina's internal affairs, a relic of colonial-era cooperation in quotes, deals still active across Francophone Africa.
Aucun d'entre eux ne serait aujourd'hui avec un pays souverain si l'armée française ne s'était pas déployée dans cette région. Nous avions une relation sécuritaire. Elle était de deux natures, en vérité. Il y a une partie, c'était notre engagement contre le terrorisme depuis 2013. On avait raison. Je crois qu'on a oublié de nous dire merci. C'est pas grave, ça viendra avec le temps. L'ingratitude, je suis bien placé pour le savoir, c'est une maladie non transmissible à l'homme. Et je le dis pour tous les gouvernants africains qui n'ont pas eu le courage vis-à-vis de leurs opinions publiques de le porter, aucun d'entre eux ne serait aujourd'hui avec un pays souverain si l'armée française ne s'était pas déployée dans cette région. Et j'ai une pensée émue pour nos soldats qui, parfois, ont donné leur vie et pendant des années se sont battus. Nous avons bien fait. On est parti parce qu'il y a eu des coups d'État. Parce qu'on était là à la demande d'États souverains qui avaient demandé à la France de venir.
Translation, the empire just got kicked out. Traoré didn't stop there. He suspended and shut down French state media outlets like Radio France Internationale and France 24, accusing them of broadcasting disinformation and destabilizing narratives. He banned French NGOs involved in what he called intelligence gathering under the mask of development. Burkina Faso produces over 70 tons of gold per year, making it among top five largest gold producers in Africa. But more than 90% of that wealth is controlled by foreign companies, mostly Canadian, British, Australian, and French. Traoré's administration began auditing all mining contracts, reviewing concessions signed under Compaoré and Kabore, and called out the gold drain that left the country underdeveloped while European stock markets profited. At the same time, Traoré also got plunged in a different kind of war, one waged in newsrooms thousands of miles away. The minute he took power, Western media outlets unleashed a barrage of labels: junta leader, Putin proxy, militant captain, rising threat. But here's what they often left out: that Traoré's rise came after the total collapse of trust in Western-backed governments. Instead of analyzing what brought him to power, they focused on painting him as the latest African strongman. After his government had suspended French media, the Western press responded with outrage. But here's the contradiction. In a country where trust can mean the difference between survival and collapse, information isn't neutral, it's tactical. This is why Burkina's government intensified its crackdown on foreign media with a zero-tolerance policy towards biased reporting. After Human Rights Watch alleged that Burkinabe troops massacred civilians in two northern villages in 2024, the government swiftly suspended outlets like the BBC, Voice of America, and Human Rights Watch itself. Authorities also banned The Guardian, Le Monde, TV5 Monde, Deutsche Welle, and several others, accusing them of an orchestrated media campaign to discredit the armed forces. All their websites were blocked until further notice. Yet, Traoré has been gaining local support with citizens, seeing him as a protector from external manipulation and internal chaos. But even think tanks and analysts joined the fray. The Atlantic Council, Brookings Institution, and others published op-eds warning of autocracy, foreign influence, and regional instability. Yet many of these same institutions receive funding from Western defense contractors and governments with a stake in Sahel geopolitics, raising questions of conflict of interest. Control of information is control of perception, and perception shapes policy. If Traoré is seen as a liberator, he gains international sympathy. If he's painted as rogue, he becomes a justification for sanctions, isolation, or worse. This is why the media war matters. And in this sense, Traoré was already under siege long before a shot was fired. What truly frightens the West is Traoré's vision of a Burkina Faso and a wider Africa free from foreign dependency. His policies echo Sankara's philosophy of self-sufficiency, food security, and military independence. For decades, Western economies thrived off of Africa's dependence. Traoré's Burkina Faso threatens that economic model, serving as an inspiration for African countries longing for real independence. Then came the coup and assassination attempts. In December 2023, rumors of an attempted ouster of Captain Traoré circulated widely. Though never officially confirmed, diplomatic sources cited increased U.S. satellite surveillance over Ouagadougou around the same period. In response, Burkina Faso's elite presidential guard expanded from 800 to over 2,500 personnel within just 6 months. A senior Burkinabe officer, speaking anonymously, reportedly told Jeune Afrique, "We are not naive. We remember what happened to Sankara." Tensions further escalated recently when U.S. AFRICOM commander General Michael Langley accused Traoré of diverting national gold reserves to finance his own security rather than the public welfare, the usual historical tactic to manufacture consent for an invasion. In a rejoinder, the Burkinabe government dismissed the statement as imperial propaganda and released a public audit denying the allegations. 2 years before this, Burkina Faso was suspended from ECOWAS alongside Mali and Niger under the banner of restoring supposed democratic order. This triple suspension coincided with the formation of a new Sahelian alliance named the Alliance of Sahel States, or AES for short, between three states focused on mutual defense, self-determination, and expulsion of foreign military presence. While Western powers have labeled these states pariahs, surveys and expert analysis suggest strong public support in Burkina Faso for deeper regional integration with the neighboring Sahel countries. Despite escalating external pressure, public support for Traoré's administration has remained strong. Over 50,000 civilians volunteered to join Volontaires pour la Défense de la Patrie, or VDP, which translates to Volunteers for the Defense of the Homeland, a number verified by the Ministry of Territorial Administration. What happens when a young African doesn't beg for aid, doesn't fear headlines, and doesn't wait for permission? You get Ibrahim Traoré, and you get a new kind of Africa, one that's not waiting to be saved, but standing up to be sovereign. The question is, can the West tolerate an Africa that thinks for itself, that governs itself, that defines itself? Before Sankara, before Traoré, there was a man who dared to dream of a United States of Africa. Check it out next. Stay curious, and as always, I'll see you next time.
Ashe. Yeah. I tell you, that's great, isn't it? That's great. That's great, family. Yeah, today, we'll talk more about this when we come back from the other side. We're going to get off into, hold on. I'm sorry. Okay. Get this right, y'all. Okay. It is our sister's birthday, Janet Jackson. She was born in 66 in Gary, Indiana. And you know the history. You know the television when she was on Good Times and all of the stuff that Janet Jackson has done. She's a fantastic sister. And so we're going to wish her a happy birthday and play two of her cuts. My lady chose these two, and we're going to play them, Control and Rhythm Nation. All right. All right. Let me do it justly. Let me do it justly. All right.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
So young as you're done.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All right. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Rhythm Nation, Control, the birth date of Janet Jackson. 59 years old. Next year, 60. Well, looks great. Doing great. The phone lines are open at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking about Burkina Faso. We're talking about Ibrahim Traoré. We're talking about the liberation, the sovereignty for African people. If you want to join this conversation, dial 215-490-9832. Good afternoon, Brother Irv.
Good afternoon, Baba Oshie. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, dear brother. I'm doing fine, man. I'm doing great. Yeah.
Brother, it's good to hear your voice. You sound good. Baba Oshie, that piece you played on Burkina Faso, something that I've been following for a couple of years now. It's it gives a quick synopsis of everything that's happened up to this point. And I think that needs to be said so that people who are a skeptic or people who want to help but truly don't have the don't understand exactly what's going on here, that clears a lot of things up, Baba Oshie, because whenever a people attempt to rise against the powers that be, they always seem that they're violent, that they're fighting. Well, you know, fighting got you into this, and fighting's going to get you out.
That's
you know, if you don't get any arms, you can have all the revolution you want, but if you don't have anything to fight with, if you do get the freedom, you can't hold it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hold on to it. So I think Burkina Faso is doing it right. I see that the people to watch is not Burkina Faso. The people to watch are the people around Burkina Faso. Watch the other countries, the other Africans, the other so-called nations, because they're going to start posturing now. They're going to start either. Thomas Sankara did and this Ibrahim, what they've done is they've given you no leeway. Either you in or you out. It's either this or that.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to hide now. You can't say that, we're going to feed the children. Well, we're feeding our own children. I don't need you to feed my children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a partnership with the French. No, you don't. The French have never had a partnership with you. The French are using you as a puppet. You know that, and I know that. So now I heard a piece the other day on the internet that Obama supposedly called Ibrahim and told Ibrahim, you know, you guys aren't taking this aid. It doesn't look good in the world for you not to be taking aid and going against the people that are trying to help you. And, you know, you got to laugh. You got to laugh.
You got to, you know, they treat us like little children, you know. They treat us here like little children. You know, the European and all their surrogates, all those traitors, but, you know, and believe me, when they killed Muammar Gaddafi, I knew Barack had a big hand, and I remember them being in a like a war room or some kind of looking at what was happening when they killed Osama bin Laden, and then when they killed Muammar Gaddafi. And from that point on, man, I've had disdain for Barack Obama. I know there's such, you know, they love Obama. He's the first black president, and he had two terms, and he had no scandal and none of that. And I understand that. Because this cat here now, he's full of scandal. I mean, this guy shouldn't, he doesn't deserve to be anything but imprisoned. There's no doubt about that.
But Baba, I must cut in, Baba Oshie, if you'd allow me to, because the reality is, we look at Obama and say he had no scandal. We look at this guy and say he's the devil times a thousand. Be perfectly clear. Obama didn't come to us at the way this particular Caucasian has come to us. This Caucasian came and said, I'm white. I like being white. I like white people. And mm-hmm. I'm going to do things for my people who are my right. constituents.
Right.
And we're going to make America. But he never said, you have the audacity to dream. We're going
the
to change.
Of hope,
we're going to make. Obama came with us with a bag of goodies and some candy and said, look, man, I'm going to give you all this. All you got to do is be cool and let me do me.
Yeah.
And he did do me. He did me for Caucasians. And now Caucasians are doing well. And that's the reason we have a Donald Trump. The reason we have a Clarence Thomas is because of Thurgood Marshall. You know, what I'm saying is the Caucasians will make a point, and their point will be, you're going to suffer. You're not going to be like me. And the boy, this little boy made he said some words that were so profound. He said, they're not like us. And they're not. They don't have the ones that even appear to be us. Like Malcolm said, they make us into a political football. Whichever side of the field they need us on is where the ball is.
Yeah.
And that's what we do, because you're in. And it's all in Baba Ocean. You know, I'm going to stop after this, but I always come back to the same thing. I always come back to something that Jay said, and you know, he said, you're like a battered wife, and something that you said. If you're not going to leave, then sit down or keep dribbling. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to leave, if you're not going to put your shit in the bag and say, you know what, I've had enough of this, you're never going to change. W.D. Du Bois had it right. He died in Africa.
That's right.
Because he knew that this country is not going to change. They don't have to. The only way to change this country is through force. And that's to make them do it. Mm-hmm. And if you're not ready to do that for armed struggle, as the Panthers realized it, mm-hmm. if you are not ready for an armed struggle against this devil that you're living with, because you're living with a psychopath, and if you're not ready for that, then you might as well just sit down and be quiet, because we keep saying the same thing over and over again. But the thing about Burkina Faso, let me say, and this is what the pastors, because they're weaponizing their religion against you, but they should be preaching about this in church. This guy is turning over the table of the Pharisees, if you want to mm-hmm. put it to the Bible.
Yeah, yeah,
I've read a little
analogy.
Bit of that fairy tale. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot of fairy. I've read a lot of Hans Christian Andersen. But my point is, you...
fairy tale.
I had to throw that in there. I'm
that
sorry.
Was a good one, man.
I'm sorry, you bastard. But my point is, we realize we're in a fight. Every day you see another video of someone getting beat up by a police, someone getting shot by a police, black police and white police. We can sit here and name all day the people who have been killed by these police officers for whatever. And now you're seeing a guy who does not even look at that. He could care less. That's not even on the news anymore. What they're looking at the news, they're talking about an airplane he's getting and his family making a bunch of money and all these types of things. But now they've peaked his little game. The one lady came out the other day, the Supreme Court Justice, the black woman who's married to the Caucasian on the Supreme Court Justice. I guess that's how you get on there. Clarence Thomas got a white girl. But my thing is, the way you get on it, and she said, they're catch me if you can. I'm going to do it like in the fire department. The guy was, I'm just going to do it, and then I'll just get in trouble for doing it, but I'm going to do it.
Sure.
Well, this is what they're doing.
Suffer
they're doing it, and now you file a lawsuit, and
right.
we keep you tied up in court, and we keep doing it over and over and over and over again. And what they do, the system becomes becomes congested and everything rolls to a stop. But you're looking over here at the system, and while you're looking at that, he's over here on the right hand side stealing. Because the money that is flowing, let's be clear. I saw a story the other day, and I'm gonna stop after this. I think it's his daughter is married to some guy who's connected to some Saudis. And the Saudis are connected to the golf thing that he got going on. He got 18 golf courses, mm-hmm. and they're building. They're all 80 some stories high with his name on it, with Trump on it, and the Saudis. And they just killed the journalist a little while ago.
Right.
And they support the people they supposed to hate, Hamas, but they don't hate Hamas because Hamas is Israel. Mm-hmm. That's all, and that's going to come out one day. That all this is a game for them to take over that Gaza Strip. Mm-hmm. That's what this is about. Because these people don't even have an army. Who are you fighting? You never see Hamas. If you notice that, you never see it. You can see everything else on TV. You can see dead people. I see Michael Jackson in a hologram, but I never see the people they're fighting. And it's the same way Ibrahim figured out that when the French left, here comes the insurgents. But as long as the French is here, the surgeons really ain't that tough, but their guns come from the United States. How does this work? How does that work? So now, Baba Oshie, what you played about Burkina Faso and that group of nations that are the group of people who are coming together with him, the states, that right there, if you didn't know, now you know. You can't say I didn't know.
Right.
You can't say, oh, I don't know where to do it. Well, come to Time for an Awakening. Come for African Perspectives, and you'll get the whole education on what's going on. And if you don't believe it, do the research for yourself.
Thank you. It's there for you, just like it is for me. It's there for you. It is for you. Do the research.
Yeah, you don't want it. You can't see what you don't want to see, no matter how thick your glasses are. If you're comfortable in the cesspool that you live in, with the psychopaths that you live amongst, and the white women that you marry, and the weed that's legal that you want to smoke, and I'm not saying you can't smoke, do what you want. But don't tell me, don't try to have a conversation with me about a struggle that you're not participating in. Because every day is a struggle for us. Don't tell me about how life is hard. I'm black. I was born hard with two strikes against me. And I understand that.
And
I'm not crying.
And you live in Baltimore.
Come on, be more careful.
That's right.
They were killing one
be
a day
more.
When I was growing up.
Yeah.
One,
be more.
Come on, this ain't no game.
Mm-hmm.
So no, Baba Oshie, we're here and we could have went left, but we went right. We could have been there, but we're here. There's a reason for you being on this earth. I believe the God that I serve has a purpose for everyone.
Right.
And so I believe that we have much work to do. We have to keep speaking, keep talking, because every time we say something to the right, there's someone who says something to the left. So we have to constantly stay on our game. We have to call out these genetically modified Negroes, my man calls them.
Mm-hmm.
We have to call them out. I didn't say call them names. I said just call them out. Mm-hmm. Look, what you just said doesn't make sense. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with you, but you said it. So we have to stay at it. We have to keep. And if all and you people, you're a radio revolutionary. Well, you know what? It all started with a word, according to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if a word got us into it, a word's going to get us out of it. But a words need action. And I think Burkina Faso is showing us to be. I'm so proud of Burkina Faso. I want to move there. I want to be a part of it. I want to see some semblance of revolution, some semblance of self-determination. Yeah. And this brother is making all of us proud, and we all should galvanize and get behind him and walk in lockstep with this brother and not let these people come back, because if they do come back, which they're not, they will come back with a vengeance because they've been embarrassed. They've been shown as to who they are, evil, demonic devils. Bible,
I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you for letting me.
All right, Irv. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Brother Paul, how you doing, Brother Paul?
Oh, good morning, Baba Oshie. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon.
But I'm so glad.
Good afternoon, good evening.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very bright and very, very sun. Ra is out in
right
his full glory.
Sun Ra.
Yeah.
So, yes.
You know, so that it's stimulating my plant garden,
okay.
And I love it.
Right on.
You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. You know, Baba Oshie, today in the UK, two firemen died in a fire go into a fire operation, and two other firemen and a thing were severely injured. And
the fire engine had an accident, or they died in a fire?
No, they died in the fire.
Oh, in the fire. Wow, that's a sacrifice. That's deep. Yeah.
Yeah. And, my mind ran on you and Brother Herb, man, because mm-hmm. I thought to myself, you know, we take a lot of, well, I'm not saying you do, but sometimes we as the populace take a lot of things for granted. And it made me think, I know you were in the fire department, and so was Brother Irv. And, you know, you speak very casually of it. But then it made me think, you know, what it's like to get up to go to work, knowing that you're putting your neck on the line for others.
For sure.
And you may not come home. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a reality.
It is.
And it really got me thinking, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, to you and Brother Irv, I have to say, absolutely thank you for your service, man, because it's a serious thing, you know what I mean?
Right. Truly, your life is on the line each time the bell rings and you have to go out in the emergency vehicle and sirens blazing, lights flashing, and so forth and so on. There have been a lot of accidents. I've been in accidents, but then also to have been in a lot of fires. I fell through a roof. I fell through the first floor hit a piece of glass on my bottom, right through my pants, stuck in the ass.
No, serious. That's serious.
It is
man.
Serious.
I mean, you know,
it is.
You're amazing, man. Because I mean, you can laugh about it.
Yeah.
And you've told your story, and at the same time, you were going out putting your neck on the line for others. You was also giving back to the community. You
always
talked about how you went into schools and stuff like that, man. Baba Ochi, you know. You know, we can always talk things and aspire to be things, but you set a very good example. And Brother Irv as well, you know, you come and you give something back. And that is the example. That's what we must do. We just do what we can do. Anything we can do,
whatever,
we do.
Whatever role that you can play, whatever niche that you get in where you can fit in. But do something that is positive to help uplift our people. Do something. Do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
brother,
agree.
Baba Ochi, even if you do something for a cause and it's negative, man, you're going to stir up some positive reaction. So whatever you do, just do it. If you do it in the goodness of heart, do it, man. And, you know, just don't make excuses. And that's the problem with a lot of us. We're making too many excuses. Mm-hmm. We're making excuses to be excused. And it's just no good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But coming back to your subject, Burkina Faso, very, very interesting for me to observe the dynamics of the whole situation. It's interesting because for a long time, some of us have been warning what's coming down the pipeline. And what's interesting is it's out in the open. The way the our adversaries use these false narratives and propaganda is totally out in the open. Because most people who just do the basic research can easily come to the conclusion that this young brother, is the real deal, and he's trying to uplift these people.
Yes,
and he's highlighting the fact that anyone who tries to uplift the people becomes the enemy of these devils. You know, because they go around the world pretending and talking about democracy and the rule of law, which is all bullcrap.
It's
all nonsense. You know what I mean? Because they're not interested in whatever they define as the rule of law or whatever they define as democracy. What they're interested in is power and control and to oppress anybody who questions their authority. That is what they're into. And you know, they don't teach that in their schooling, fooling systems, or in their or in their institutions of brainwashing or the mass manipulating media. They don't preach that. They're so deceitful, man. The devil is that. That is the devil. Tell you one thing and do the other. So it's very interesting to watch the dynamics. But there's a serious dynamic which I've been looking at and for a long time. And that's one of the relationship of the Africans in their sectarian devices, especially the Fulanis. They're a very interesting bunch. Very interesting bunch. We just had a report on the British mainstream mass manipulated media.
Okay.
And they were saying that there was an attack in the north by some jihadists. And, you know, I was watching this. I must say, Baba Ochi, that what's interesting as well is that the level of media coming out of made by Africans from the continent is outstanding. Mm-hmm. The way they are, mm-hmm. You know, even the part you played, the bit you played, it's outstanding.
Yes.
You know, it's really outstanding. They are really getting the message across.
Yes, they are.
And I've seen a big change in the professionalism, mm-hmm. and the, you know, the amount of videos being made. It's amazing, and it's a great thing. It seems to me that a great deal of them are on point and are really waking up. So, mm-hmm. you know, none of this work, your work, and all those which, you know, the different groups, is in vain. It's not in vain. You know what I mean? It set the torch long time ago, and the flame is getting brighter. So, you know, we just all have to just give strength. Last thing I want to say, I do have a little issue, Baba Osha. I have to push back a little, but this is not a criticism. It's just a personal thing. When you play that part on that music you built, the AI created music, it doesn't resonate with my soul that well.
Which one? I think
it's a bad choice of
Ibrahim Traoré, the AI generated with
What's his name?
R. Kelly.
I forget the guy. R. Kelly. R. Kelly. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's in prison.
I don't know about you, but I think R. Kelly's a full-blown pedophile. I don't know about you. Do you think he's a pedophile or not?
Yeah, he's a pedophile. Yes, he did some nasty stuff.
Well, you know,
he did despicable stuff. There's no doubt about that. You know,
huh?
He's done some despicable things.
I have a problem with that, and I have a real problem with that. And what else I have a problem with? I remember at the time when he was going through that madness, I remember seeing some parents on the YouTube, and they were begging for their children back. And I was thinking, my good Lord, that it was like they were doing some video thing, and the children was in the back, the young people was in the background, and he'd almost, it was like some cult, and he'd brainwashed them, and they were saying, just come home and all that. And I'm looking at it thinking, is this for real? Look, man, that guy's, I just think he's a bad choice of person to choose. I think he's a sexual predator, and we got too many of them in our community, to be honest with you. We got too many of them. And, you know, they leave a lot of damage behind, a lot of damage, both women and men, you know. And it's a problem in our community we don't really address it. In actual fact, some of it, we just bury in our heads and pretend like it's not going on. It's a problem. So I have a problem with him. Him singing it. It didn't resonate with me at all.
Okay.
The other problem I have is we use, you know, this is, the, I don't want to go too deep into it, but we use this term God all the time. For me, that term God is a Eurocentric idea, meaning governance, ordinance, directive, or gold.
I love it. I like the acronym, governance, ordinance, directive.
Or, mm-hmm. yeah, or their governments, because they set all these governments up, all these ideas of government. It's them. It's just to control people and steal their resources. Yeah. Governments, but or their other love is gold, oil, and diamonds. That's mm-hmm. their love. Mm-hmm. That's their money. Gold, oil, and diamonds. That's their love. That's their God. So every time I hear this idea, oh, God's gonna come and save you, to me, that's an omen. That's a bad omen. And listening to that tune and talking about God's gonna come and save you, to me, that's a real bad omen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you're gonna say an African deity, address him by name. Learn about Burkina Faso. Learn about the different deities. Dress them by name. Don't just say God. God is a Eurocentric idea. Mm-hmm. You understand? And that's what they use to conquer our minds. And we're still conquered, many of us. Mm-hmm. Baba Ochi, you know, you're a wonderful example of a person keep up the good work.
Right on. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Paul. Appreciate you, man. I know you continue to listen. Appreciate it. Right on.
Thank you.
Yeah. I feel you, Brother Paul, in that respect about the AI-generated tribute to Ibrahim Traore. I understand that. But there's so many other issues and so many other things that we have to deal with. And that's just another one of them that we should deal with it. You know, but the bottom line is for us is that this movement has to be maintained. We have to protect this man, and more have to come on. I understand what I played, there was a groundswell of men, and I'm not sure about women either, wanting to join the force in Burkina Faso, you know, to assist the government to make sure that it continues to move in the positive direction that this brother is taking it. And I hope that those other countries and the others who have started to make movement in that direction, Ghana, Senegal, I heard a few others. There was another one that I heard, Eritrea. I don't know if it's Eritrea, but they're making moves in that direction. They're understanding that if the African continent moves towards independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, then true Pan-Africanism will take hold, and unity on the African continent can just knock everybody's ass out. When you come to Africa, you come to Africa right. And you come to Africa with money in the pockets to trade, to deal. You ain't coming there to manipulate, undermine, and take. Those days are finally over. Although there's still some today, you know. There's still some, like, because Langley, his Negro ass, was all around. Langley was all around the Sahel countries of Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. All those ones that were surrounding him, they were talking to them. And the problem, of course, is that, yes, the Western countries have tremendous resource, but look what has happened. We've been getting aid for decades, and our condition is the same or worse. So what does it mean? It don't mean a damn thing. Kick their ass to the curb, let's close ranks, let's pull resources, and let's do for ourselves. The bottom line. Good afternoon, Jay. What's happening?
What's happening, Baba Ochi?
All right. All right, dear brother.
Well, when you look at this situation, it seems like the leadership has learned from the lessons that have been taught to them by this beast, and they seem like, because of this idiot that they have in office right now, they don't want nothing to do with America, which I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Because this clown is robbing the country blind, mm-hmm, and trying to turn it into South Africa.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing is, which we and the people of this country don't understand, he's going to turn it into South Africa.
Well, there's a lot of Caucasians that like South Africa, didn't they? Before
and
apartheid ended. You know, it's still
that's
like.
That's what I'm saying to you. Okay. That's why I'm saying to you, he's going to turn it into South Africa. Mm-hmm. It's just, unfortunately, we don't see it. But it's what it's heading to. It's what it's what it's being played out to be. And unfortunately, we don't see it. And that's the tragedy of it, you know? And the thing is that when it becomes South African, these niggas who love white folks so much are going to be the ones the most shocked and the most upset and the most surprised, and the so-called wealth that they have ain't going to save their black ass. Because what they're going to do is they're going to basically take away everything that you done accumulated and put your dumb ass back in slavery because you think that white people are going to be fair to your black ass.
Yes.
And they ain't never been fair to us. They ain't never treat us right.
And never
all
will.
They ever do is use us for the entertainment of our black skin. Mm-hmm. And we don't understand it. So 20 or 30 years from now, when you're in the situation that you're in, I'll be dead and gone. And that's it. No, nothing more you can say. Well, because the crazy thing is, most of these Negroes think that there's going to be a position and a place for them in America. And that's the biggest lie there is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they'll figure it out, hopefully. Listen to what I said. Hopefully, they'll figure it out and find a way to save themselves and their family. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is, they ain't got no use for your black ass.
They don't. All the cotton has been picked. All the tobacco has been picked. All of that. So there's no more use for your ass. There ain't no more black jobs for you.
Yeah.
You know.
And you don't want the black job that they deem to be the black job. So as I say, F them, let it play out the way it play out, and just go home to the ancestors, and hopefully they'll embrace your black ass for being the cultural traitor that you are. But listen, oh man, I don't know if I mentioned to you, man, my mom's passed.
Oh no,
Yeah, man, my mom's passed. My old lady's just hanging on.
Yeah,
I got a call last night that a friend of mine that I done known for 35 years, he passed. I mean, man, you know, they always say death comes in threes.
Wow.
But it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, you know, all you can do is just hang in there and ask the ancestors to embrace them and keep on doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, go on with your life, man, but that's deep. Yeah, I agree.
And
of course, when you get up to this age, when you get up to this age, you know, somebody's going to be saying the same shit about your ass and me too. You know,
that's it. Well, I say, look, man, Mom Dukes lived for 84. So if I can live for 84, I'll just thank the ancestors for looking out for a brother. For that long. But look, I got to run.
All right, Jay. Appreciate you, man.
To the rest of the show.
All right. Have a good weekend.
I'll talk to you soon. Be good, my brother. Put me on hold.
All right. Have a good weekend. Brother Irv, what's happening?
Baba Oshi.
Yes, sir.
Really quickly, brother, when I was in the fire department, there was a sign over top of the door when I went into the kitchen area. And the sign said, just by entering this room, you are a hero. And what that sign meant was, even if we didn't get one call all day, one fire, one nothing,
exactly.
You're still a hero.
Exactly.
Because you were at the ready.
You were
ready to put your life on the line for someone that you didn't know. And we've all been called the N-word and all these different, I know I have, many a times.
Oh, yeah.
In helping someone. So my point is, even if we don't go to an incident, we still are a special type of person who runs into a building while everyone else is running out.
Exactly.
But we feel as though we have that knowledge. Secondly, when your master's house is on fire, you are going to move different. You are going to try to help save the house, and that's what's going on with the black people who have integrated into this system and assimilated into it. The house is on fire, and it's always been on fire, but you've been held up with Massa. But now it's starting to burn your feet. What you think Massa going to do? Who you think going to be the first person that he's going to throw out the door when the place gets messed up? It's you. and then you're going to see that the American Africans that have latched onto these Caucasians move different. Baba Oshi, they're going to move different. And so far as when Paul said he didn't like the word God in the song and then what you played, and see, the more you understand your history, the more you move to where Paul is. Mm-hmm. Because Paul understands, he understands, it's just the same as you. You've done research, you've seen things. I understand that the Star Spangled Banner is a slave song.
Sure it is.
I stopped singing that years ago.
Oh, man.
So if we're not going to... And I know that Mount Rushmore is a bunch of racists.
Mm-hmm.
I know that George Washington was a slave owner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can keep going with the things that these Caucasians have slid in on us and got us sitting here singing and dancing and some more stuff. And we're dancing and talking about it. We're calling ourselves N-words because we don't understand the history. So my point is, like, as Paul has done, know your history,
mm-hmm.
read so that you understand what you're screaming and what you're hollering. I know that R. Kelly's a pedophile, but when they stop singing the Star Spangled Banner, I'll throw away all my R. Kelly CDs. God damn it. So the reality is, yeah. Hugh Hefner was raping women for years and nobody said anything to him. And then all of a sudden, now all of a sudden it's a bad thing. It's always been bad. You're living with psychopaths, and I keep saying that because I want people to push back on that. No, we're not. They're not psychopaths. Really? Really.
Yeah.
So let's do what they do, Baba Oshi. Let's go out and hang some people tonight. So that's what they used to do on Friday night down in Meridian, Mississippi, on Fridays. Get some beer, go hang some black people. Yeah. Let's go do that and see how white folks like it.
Yeah, or
see,
or,
and I'm not.
Or watch the fight with Jack Johnson while Jack Johnson kicked the cracker ass, and then they get so mad now they're gonna.
And then
go
after the fight,
some,
you go in the black neighborhood and start beating and killing people.
That's right.
After the fight, he had to go through a trap door, Baba Oshi, to get out the rink. He had to go through a trap door because these white people were so upset that he whooped that white 45 rounds. He pounded him into the ground. And I'm laughing because every time white people try to hurt us, they hurt themselves because you don't understand. You can't do this by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The universe does not work in isolation. It works together. The universe, and that's why Mayotte is so important. If you don't know what Mayotte is, that's another show. We'll go on that another. But you read about it. It all works together. The universe works in harmony until you put in that demonic spirit. Baba Oshi, let somebody else speak.
And when that happens, it all goes awry, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Peace. Sister Sahiba, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the
program. Good.
Program today.
Yes.
You know, I'm looking forward to Malcolm X celebration.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up.
This weekend at the Malcolm X Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I was just reflecting on what Brother Paul was saying in reference to the song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a great, I mean, the words are great. And Ibrahim, I just said, long live Ibrahim Traoré. He's my hero. He's a freedom fighter. He is so awesome. So a song praising him and praying for his protection is good. But, you know, you take something so beautiful and positive, and it may be a subliminal message with the AI to, you know, have it profess to be Kelly, mm-hmm. you know, so... You know, because they could have had somebody strong and positive like Stevie Wonder's
exactly.
sing the song.
Exactly. Well, you know, R. Kelly can't say too much because he's in prison, you know.
Yeah, so why? I know you get somebody all in prison.
Yeah, you can't say, well, where are my royalties? Or, you know, or dude, I didn't sign a contract. But, you know, regardless, I'm looking at the song in itself about a man who has – seriously stood up where many men have failed.
Yeah.
Many men have faltered. Many men have given in, capitulated to take the cash or to do the bidding of Caucasians on the continent. There's, you know, when I look at Trump in the so-called Middle East, because of the oil wealth that was found back in the 40s into the 50s, have modernized these countries to such degree that the people in the country are so wealthy, they don't work. They bring in people from the Philippines and so forth, or they bring in, check this out,
neutered Africans and African women, you know, but they have such tremendous wealth. They have made oases within the desert, hell, lakes and so forth. And that kind of wealth, even more so, is on the continent. They just got oil. We got it all.
Everything. Yeah, so.
But we had mismanagement because we had the lack of leadership. And because of the leadership or misleadership, and specifically by those who are corrupt, those who will do the big, those who will cause coups. You just, the piece I played told you there was five individuals who called coups within Burkina Faso. And the one, of course, that did in Thomas Sankara over 20 years ago, his so-called right-hand man, you
yeah,
know.
Sorry.
So, you yeah. know, I think yeah, that this is the awakening. Really I really treacherous. Do, Sister Habib. I think this is the awakening of the African continent that I prayed that I would see happening before, you know, I expired. That the, it
yeah,
is
it looks like
up.
I'm claiming that it's going to happen before you expire. I believe in it, and he's just such a crusader, and mm-hmm. everyone is. I mean, it's like a worldwide pan-Africanism. All the yes. you know, the youth, the young, they're inspired yes. by him. The elders, and he's brave. He's my hero. He's mm-hmm. he's really awesome.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, I'll say to him.
Right on.
You know, I just one thing. I know that Irv was, you know, in references was talking about how important it is to have self-defense and armed. And then he made a statement that the Black Panthers sure did learn something from it. But the Black Panthers, they took up arms and they were for self-defense. And so I think those are some brave and courageous brothers and sisters. And so,
yeah,
you know, I'm not sure what they learned. I'm not sure what he was saying that they learned, except that the European is a beast and yes. a monster. Yes. You know, with yes. that.
I salute their cause. Sure.
I salute the work that they did. I mean, because you can fight them politically, economically, financially, with arms.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a multifaceted
the issue is that
in our battle for liberation. Yeah.
The Black Panthers were trying to make sure that the community was safe.
Right. They uplifted
us. The community was safe. You know, but the reality yeah. is this. Now that this fool is back in office, the police department, this is going to be a police state. He has put in
yes.
measures that the police can kill your ass with impunity. Okay?
Right.
I stopped you because I thought that you were doing something illegal. When I approached you, then I thought that you made a move which caused me to fear for my life. So I took my gun out as I saw you running away and shot your ass five times in the back. And now I'll get off.
Yes.
Yeah, it is
right.
that. It's
devastating. It's appalling.
Mm-hmm. Aiba, it is that. And that's what we're dealing
yeah.
with. You know, and it's not just a police state here. This is a military thing on global, European.
Mm-hmm.
I got this from my brother Paul. European, Caucasian, extremism. They're not superior. But they sure in the hell are extreme. Look what they're doing. Extremism. I kept the racism in there because racism is real. Not a real construct biologically, but it is real politically. And they are the ones who created it. Europeans, Caucasians created the idea of race. There is no such concept. If there is a race, there's only mm-hmm. one race. The human race, of which we are the fathers and mothers of. And so these folks are setting a situation up. They've always been a low number in the population. Their numbers have been dwindling seriously for
right.
the last 20 or so years where they've been experiencing negative population growth for every two that die, only one is born. And so,
and they realize it.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they realize. I believe they're going to lose by the.
Of course they are.
You know, I think one of the other callers saying how Trump is just going to prevail and just take over America. I don't believe that he's going to prevail. I think, you know, with people with it, I mean, he's losing in his own group. The Republicans have turned against him.
Rightfully so.
You know, the courts is ruling against him.
Yes.
He loses stuff. His white people is in the streets protesting him. It's so many. If you happen to look on YouTube or whatever, I mean, they got thousands and thousands of white people in the streets against Trump. You know, he's trying to take away the Medicare, the Medicaid, all these people from their jobs and things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and his polling, polling's that important. He is so low with
while he engages in constant conflicts of interest, while his family is making hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, you know, and he's going to accept a plane that he knows it's in the law that a city president can't be taking gifts from foreign countries. But see,
he's so corrupt.
Yeah. He is.
So, I mean, I don't think that boy gonna prevail. And you know, and he's the true he's just the monster, the demigod.
Yep.
He's the culprit. I don't think it's the African people, I mean, saying that it's our fault or whatever. I don't think he's gonna prevail. I think we're gonna win. And I just say,
well, let's hope righteousness does win this time.
Ephraim,
yep. Let's hope it wins this time. All right, my sister. Yeah. Have a good weekend.
I'm just claiming victory with
Is it Saturday or Sunday?
Pan-Africanism of Paris.
All right, right on. Is the Malcolm X over at the park?
AOC.
Yeah, Jay.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Malcolm X park.
Question. What day? Sorry, hold on, Jay. What day is it? Saturday or Sunday? Tomorrow or Sunday?
It's tomorrow. Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be so awesome and beautiful. The weather will be nice.
Yes, it will. All right. See you there, my
sister. Good. See you there.
All right.
Okay. Happy Malcolm X birthday.
Right on. Yes, go ahead, Jay.
Let me ask you this, and I'd like for you to answer it if you could. What are we winning?
What are we winning? All right,
what are we winning?
Let me tell you. I look at it this way, Jay, in respect of being able to win our right minds back to the point that we don't give a damn about damn America. We know that in order for us to be a people and have a future for our people and future for our families, we have to go home. And when we go home, the brothers and sisters there recognize the same thing. And then we neutralize the Arabs in the North Africa. We get rid of, in fact, all those crackers in South Africa, they can bring their ass here just like that 50 or some of them did just recently because they're open to that shit. That's how we win, Jay. That's the winning.
No, Ochi, I'm asking you, what are we winning here, brother?
We ain't winning shit here.
I feel the same way. What are we winning here?
Nothing.
Okay, that's all. I want to point out, because if you equate winning anything here, something's wrong. Because there's no win here.
No.
Because you'll never control anything to make you human in this country.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. All right, my brother.
Have a good weekend, Jay. Peace to you, my brother. All right. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. A great weekend, just as Sister Haiba said about Malcolm X. His birthday is Monday. I'm going to have Brother Muhammad as my guest again. We'll talk about Malcolm and give him the praise that he deserves. You know. So I hope that you'll join us May 19th. This is the 100th anniversary. He was born 1925 in Omaha, Nebraska. So the 100th anniversary, a true honor to talk about Malik El Shabazz, Brother Omawale, Malcolm Little, Malcolm X. So please be with us. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahadier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day. A great weekend. Enjoy yourself. See you on Monday. Be safe.